Let's open our Bibles together, John chapter 4. Just wanted to share with you a few thoughts about our perceptions of life. John chapter 4, in our Bibles. Well, some of you will have a smartphone with the Bible on it, amen. That's all right. John chapter 4. Be reading in verse 13 to verse 19. Let's all stand together. John chapter 4, verses 13 to 19. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Father in heaven, we pray now your blessing upon the reading and hearing of your word. Guide now our thoughts and our hearts, Lord, to the worship of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom belong all worthiness, O God. He's the reason why we are here. We pray, Lord, as we commune with your Spirit, and with the scriptures that you have given us as our heritage, Lord, that you might be glorified, that you might be exalted. Bless now this time, O God. Comfort those who are hurting, and save those who are not saved. Help them to see the light of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Bless now this time, for we love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen." Thank you very much. You may be seated. We only enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy right now because of the tremendous price and sacrifice of those who serve in the military. Amen. I wasn't given that liberty to go in the military. My dad served for 30 years in the Air Force. It was the Army Air Corps back then. And I was born and raised at Clark Air Force Base there in the Philippines. My dad had married a Filipino. He was Italian-American, second generation Italian immigrant family. That makes me a Wapapino, amen? But I thank the Lord for my heritage and all. I wanted to be a military doctor. God saved me my third year in pre-med. And then God called me to preach my first year in medical school. But I thank the Lord for calling me, amen? Instead of being a doctor for physical bodies will still die. Amen. You might heal them for a while. You might recommend therapies and all. You might give them a whole slew of medicines and all for chemical changes in the body. But that person will not attain immortality. But if you're a spiritual doctor, that person can be healed eternally. Amen. And the Bible says, "By whose stripes you were healed." And I thank God that God called me to be a spiritual doctor instead of a physical doctor. Of course, I get jealous when I see Facebook profile pictures of my classmates, my colleagues back before. But I'm not going to lie to you. I am jealous, but I have no regrets. Amen. I'll catch up with them one day. And if they don't get saved, all that they work for will amount to nothing. Amen. I'll rule for 1,000 years with Jesus Christ, and after that for all of eternity. Amen. I just want to share with you a few thoughts here about our perceptions of life. Look at this in verse 19. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Things changed when Jesus Christ confronted her of her condition. She didn't get saved until Jesus Christ showed her her sin. She wanted that living water. Jesus was offering that living water. She was postulating in her head that was
physical water. It says it there in verse 11. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She had a perception problem. She was looking at physical water. But God was offering her living water. Amen. And that living water was talking with her. Amen. That was none other but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our living well of water. Amen. That we can always go back to. By the way, it's Sunday. It's the S-O-N day. It's the day of our living water. The day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And brother and sister, we have it here. A confrontation. Jesus Christ was confronting her of her sin. It says in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. Then the perception change happened. Boom! Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. That's the first perception problem in thee. Second perception problem immediately follows. Look at this. He throws at Jesus Christ a perception problem with worship. First perception problem was the perception of water. Now the second perception problem is the perception of worship. Look at this. He's throwing this excuse at Jesus Christ. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So this is a perception change here. God is flipping her perceptions. He's rocking her world, so to speak. Amen. God is changing things in her mind and here. She is throwing at Jesus Christ, the founder of her religion, Jeroboam. Jeroboam started Baal worship there in the city of Samaria, and he built another golden cow up in the city of Dan for summer season and all. But brother and sister, it's not who the founder is that God wants to magnify in here. She's magnifying the founder of her religion. Our fathers, she said in here, Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus Christ is now telling her, it's not important where you worship. What matters is who you worship. See, look at this in verse 22. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship. Because they were worshiping the golden cows there in Samaria and in Dan. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping Ashtaroth. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. It's not through Judaism anymore that people get to be saved. It's not through a religious structure that people get to be saved. But people need to meet with that Father. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. See, God is seeking you and I to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to have that connection in the spirit. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God told Adam, said, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Genesis 2:17. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve ventured in there in the garden. Of course, Eve fell first. But Adam was not deceived, but was in the transgression. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, Adam saw the condition of his wife and by faith was thinking along, moving forward by faith, saying that God will do something about this. I'll just cross the line. He went and transgressed. To transgress is to cross the line. He stepped over the line, ate of that fruit, and accompanied his wife outside of the garden. God kicked them out of the garden. Why? Why were they kicked out of the garden? There was no communication anymore. They could not communicate with God. God was a spirit. They lost their spirit. They had the body, they had the soul, but the spirit diffused and vanished. The only way for us to have that spirit regenerated in us is when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" When you receive God as your Savior, God sends the Holy Spirit inside you. John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." You are born of God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Thank God we have a connection now with God. We can worship God in the Spirit. And then next stage says, you can worship God in the truth of His Word. Amen? I'm always appalled when I see people going to church without bringing their Bible. There's so many cults out there in the Philippines. We have the biggest cult in the world, the Roman Catholic Church. When you check the computer, you're typing in Google, what's the richest organization in the world? You'll be appalled. This organization owns the Internationale per le Opere di Religione. The IOR. The IOR is the official bank of the Vatican. The IOR owns the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. The IOR owns the World Bank. The IOR owns Chase Manhattan Bank here in the United States. It's the richest organization in the world. And brother and sister, I thank God that God released me from the shackles of being a religious fool. Amen? I was just depending on my religion. I didn't realize it's not through the sacraments that you get saved. I didn't realize it's not through praying to all these saints, all the apostles, and praying to the Virgin Mary. I prayed the rosary faithfully. I was in the Lector's Guild. I read the first reading and the second reading of the Gospels on Sunday. During the Mass, I asked my best friend. I went to Sacred Heart High School. It's a seminary, Sacred Heart Seminary. It's now a several year school, and it's now a co-ed school. But back then when I was in school, it was just a boys' school. My best friend, I had 8 priests who were teaching me in my high school. My best friend was the top priest, the rector. A rector is the head of a seminary. He was my best friend. And I went to college at LaSalle University studying pre-med. And my priest, my rector, was studying his MBA degree in the same university, LaSalle. But he only went to school Tuesdays and Thursdays. I remember in November 5, 1985, I wrote it down. I asked my best friend. I said, "Father Gene, how would you know for sure you're going to heaven?" He sat back. We switch around. I'd pay for our snack when we ate together in the college canteen there, the college cafeteria. I paid the snack on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, he'd pay the snack. So that was the Thursday, November 5, 1995. I asked him, "Father Gene, how would you know for sure you're going to heaven?" He sat back and he pushed himself from the table and said, "Carl, I'm not even sure myself." He's the priest. He said, "We can't fulfill all the 7 sacraments. It's a catch-22. A priest could not fulfill sacrament number 5, holy matrimony. And then an ordinary devoted Catholic could not fulfill number 6. That's holy orders. Every good Catholic has no other hope but for his family to pray for him out of purgatory. That's his best hope. All of them will have to pay the high mass fee to pray you out of purgatory. Lo and behold, you type it in Google, check it out yourself. Pope Benedict XVI declared in August of 2009, there's no such thing as purgatory. After so many people were murdered in the Spanish Inquisition and the Italian Inquisition, all because of the charges there of recanting purgatory and transubstantiation, brother and sister, he's declaring now without apologies, there's no such thing as purgatory. Brother and sister, it's an empty faith, an empty religion. I thank God that I saw salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not by religion. You don't need a place to worship God. You don't need a religion to worship God. You need the Spirit of God living inside you. And then you need to connect with God every day with the Bible. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. God wants you and I to connect with the truths of the Bible every day. Worship God in your daily devotions. Worship God when you go to church by connecting with the Bible. Amen. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The only way for you and I to be changed is by the Spirit of God. Amen. A preacher can do everything he can to set the standards and all. Bible says it there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word. The word of God is the washing of the church, that he might present himself, Ephesians 5, 27, that he might present himself a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. God's way of liberty is the Bible. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God can only work his liberty, his freedoms, through the Bible. Then look at this next flip, this next perception flip. The disciples are now come back. Let's set the stage again. Jesus Christ was talking with the Samaritan woman in there. And the disciples went into town in verse 8 to buy bread and to buy meat, buy food inside the city of Samaria. The well was occasionally, or most of the time, the well was always set outside the city doors, the city gates. But this woman of Samaria would only go there in midday. Why? It was obvious she stole so many husbands from the women of the city. But she got saved, amen. She met the Savior, she met the Christ. And it says in there in verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left the water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She met the Christ, amen. She met the Savior. She got transformed and she went into town. Verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believe on him, for the saying of the woman was testified. He told me all that ever I did. Many people inside the city got saved because of the testimony of the woman. See, God can use anybody. No matter what your background is, no matter what you've done in the past, God can clean you up. God can use the living water inside your life and transform you and I, that he might use you and I for the saving of men and women in this world. The disciples are now come back, and it says in here in verse 30, they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, had any man brought him aught to eat? Here's a perception problem. They're offering Jesus Christ food. But Jesus Christ said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Here's the perception switch. Look at verse 34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. First perception problem and the second perception problem was addressed to the woman of Samaria. The third and fourth perception problem is now addressed to the disciples of Jesus Christ. The third one is talking about working for the Lord. Look at verse 34 again. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To feed God is the work of Christians. Amen. You and I have the privilege and the honor of feeding God by our works. Amen. You're not saved by works. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that none of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You are his workmanship. Amen. Created unto good works that God had before ordained. God has ordained you and I to work for him. John chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. The only way you can prove you're being a disciple to God is by bearing fruit unto God. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You and I are like a tree planted by the rivers of water, the Bible says. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. For in this law that he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaf also shall not wither, and his fruit shall he prosper. You and I are being examined by God by our fruits. I love South Carolina and Georgia peaches. Amen. We don't have peaches. We don't have peaches in the Philippines. When I come to America, that's about the first thing I get when I come here to America. I get nectarines and peaches. I plant a lot of things in my gardens there in the Philippines. I got a great thumb. Just about everything I plant grows, amen. But I can't grow any peaches in the Philippines. I tried. I brought a pit back illegally, amen. You're not supposed to bring any pits, amen. But they didn't spot me there in the airport, so I brought it. It didn't grow. You know, why do peaches have pits in their fruits? It's assumed that you'll plant that pit so that it can grow into another peach tree. You know the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. It says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. My meat is the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Lastly, look at this in verse 35. The fourth perception switch. Look at verse 35. Say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Here's another perception problem. The disciples were looking down, and God says, but lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You know, the usual weakness of a Christian is to pay attention with his perimeter, his sphere of influence, his small garden. I'm not saying we should be irresponsible with feeding our families and taking care of our families and giving them all the benefits and amenities of life. I'm not saying that. Don't read me wrong. But what I'm saying is God wants you to lift up your eyes, taking care of your garden, at the same time lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Brother and sister, America is just 6% of our population of this whole planet. 6%. You divide 385 million divided by 7.1 billion. You come up with 6%. The greater majority of America is not a Christian nation any longer. But brother and sister, the greater majority of the whole world is not even Christian at all to the pure sense of the world. you and I need to lift up our eyes and look in the fields. And God is giving us wealth untold. Look at verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you're entered into their labors. This is the greatest wealth investment you have written in the Bible. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. God is sending all of us, not just a few. God is sending all of us to reap whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you're entered into their labors. When you support a missionary, guess what? You're part of the labors of that missionary. We had a deacon there in our home church, in First Baptist Church of Goodrich, Michigan. He had 200,000 shares with GM in 2009, right before GM declared bankruptcy. You know how much that was worth? $4.5 million. Each share was valued as $14 a share. 1 week before bankruptcy proceedings, GM notified all their shareholders, get rid of all your stock. We're declaring bankruptcy in 1 week. He was able to sell his shares at 50 cents a share. Brother, from $4.5 million, it became $100,000. His buddies, some had 400,000 shares. They said, oh, I'll just ride this out. It's not going to happen. They had nothing. Zero. You can depend in this world all you want to. Companies will just disappoint you. But there's one that will never disappoint you. Amen. Matthew 6:20. The Bible says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, bless now your word to the hearts of your people. Help us to have our perception changes, switches, Lord, in our heads. Help us see things the way you see things. We love you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.